The store opens at midnight, that's right, midnight, to sell copies of the latest Guns N' Roses release.
You want to step into my world? It's a social psychotic state of bliss. You've been delayed in the real world. How many times have you hit at me? Your cat scan shows disfiguration. I want to laugh myself to death. With a misfire synapse with a big configuration. I'll hold the line while you gasp for breath. You want to talk to me? You wanna 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 talk to me? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
All right, so, you know, we did this one other time. And it was such a great idea that it was hilarious that we could actually do it again. But we're releasing two episodes on the same day, just like Guns N' Roses did. So it's time for part two, Worst of the Illusions, which I got to say, this was harder. It was harder for me to make this list than the best of. Because there's so many mediocre songs that you're going through and saying which one is worse out of all the, there's so many songs that I really could take or leave, you know, and don't barely even care about. I mean, there's this like bootleg called the Rumbo Tapes, which is demos from before Appetite, and seven songs from that are on these albums. Back Off Bitch, Bad Obsession, Don't Cry, November Rain, Yesterday's, The Garden. Those were all pre-Appetite songs. So, you know, when you think about releasing seven old songs on your next album, that's ridiculous. You know?
In all fairness, Van Halen did the same thing. Like, they had early demos all the way through to 1984.
Well, it's true. Like, there's a lot, like Cheap Trick, you know, their second and third albums, they had all those songs. You know, they had a ton of songs when they made their first record. So you're right. It's not necessarily, but when you're releasing 30 songs and you're throwing seven of your old songs that didn't make your first record on, that's kind of the problem, I guess.
Well, they clearly recorded everything they had.
Yeah.
And released all of it.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. A bigger Guns N' Roses nerd than me can probably tell me how many B-sides were later came out of stuff that were recorded during these sessions, but I don't know of any.
No, I can't.
I think they put everything out on these albums.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, a lot of bands record 30 songs for an album, but you release 10 or 12. That's just how that's the process.
Yeah.
You release the best material, and you try to make a record that has some kind of a cohesive nature that feels like, you know, an album is supposed to be hopefully more than just a collection of songs. It's supposed to have, you know, maybe some kind of a theme or something that makes it feel like it all goes together and works together, you know, and there's just nothing even resembling that with this. So
no, not at all. So BJ, if you really want to knock these two episodes out of the park on an epic scale, you need to have whatever the first one you put out, the best of the worst, end up being 75 minutes and 56 seconds long. And then your second episode needs to be 75 minutes and 52 seconds long. That's when you're going to be next level, my friend.
And you know what else I'm going to do when you're talking? I'm going to talk over you in some stupid fucking voice.
You got to go all Axel.
Yeah.
Full Axel.
Yeah, I'm going to talk over you.
This episode's about me.
Yeah, yeah. When I edit this, I'm gonna wear like some skin tight bike shorts, you know, and put a cucumber down my pants and everything.
No shirt.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be great. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, we didn't talk about the album covers and stuff, but I don't know. I mean, what, you know, we could just jump into our worst songs if you want. Is there anything else to say about these records? What the hell does the album? Where did he get the album title from? Do you know that? I don't remember.
I don't remember. I know artwork. It was the School of Athens, yeah, by Raphael.
Yeah.
Was the art. I don't remember or Use Your Illusions. Oh, somebody's gonna destroy us for this.
It's all Axl. You know, Axl named him. Axl picked the cover. You know, Axl is just a control freak on all of this for sure. And the other guys are probably just like, who gives it? It's not worth fighting with him over it. Why bother? It really seems like he was just a complete tyrant at this point. That's the impression I get.
Just on hook, off the hook, just unchained. You know, he's just... Yeah. A lot of issues being, you know, bubbling up to the surface, I think, with the money and success.
Yeah. The success was just unprecedented, almost. So
I was on the phone for a long time last night. And a friend of mine was telling me how, shut the fuck up. Oh, Axl, cool metal dude, rock and roll party, do cocaine, yeah. I ain't here for that. Anyway, there was a friend of mine who was telling me how some of the members of my family and some of the friends of my family have taken a great offense at what I said in this magazine. It's a shame. Look what he's done to his mother. His mother can't even go out of the house now. It was amazing. My mother could have gone out of the house before knowing the shit she fucking knew. And why is he talking about this? Because it might not have happened to you, but it might have happened to the two or three people that are standing around you, who got some fucked up family life that's gonna come back to haunt them when they hit about the age of 25. And then you gotta find your way trying to climb your way out of what you thought was your life, but it looks more in your head like a fucking car wreck that no one told you about. Because the family doesn't want to be embarrassed by these things coming out. We just don't want to have to deal with this, and we shouldn't have to deal with this publicly. But if we don't deal with it publicly, then we're probably not going to deal with the bullshit at all. And I bet they'd like it that way. I'm not a qualified therapist. I don't know a lot of shit about this, but I do know that we're in the 90s. And I do know that if we're gonna make it for another 50 years on this planet, we gotta fucking change our shit now. And there's a lot of motherfuckers that don't want that shit to be changed because that's gonna dig up their crap. There's a lot of parents who done fucked up their kids through their whole fucking lives, and they're about 40, they're about 50, and they think it's cool. Fuck that shit. And I'm the last motherfucking person they thought would be climbing up their ass to tell him about it. But see, for me now, it ain't about fucking doing cocaine. It ain't about how much vodka I drink and how much I can drink someone else under the table. It ain't about what a fucking macho man rock and roller I can be. That shit don't work no more. That's great for little kid rock and roll fucking bullshit, but it don't work no more in the real world for my ass. I can't come up here and go,
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm rock and roll. We're doing this rock and roll thing. If my life is falling apart, I can't fake it no more. And just because my family or my record company or somebody else tells me I should so everybody can be happy and make money and... Yeah, suck my dick. Anyway, there are those in my family who are, they plan now that I've written these things that they're gonna get revenge because it was a terrible thing I did and we're gonna get revenge. Yeah, try it. And if a fucking scrawny little junior high 90-pound weakling can finally get his ass up here and take this shit on, so can any one of you that have the same fucking bullshit problems in your life that don't have to get away with it. I tried being nice. I tried being cool about it. I tried, like, being friends and offering forgiveness and love and all that kind of shit. All I got was, you know how much we love you, but let's keep the screws on and keep you down like we always have. Yeah, well, guess what? I changed my point of view. For me now, it's kind of like live and let die, motherfucker.
All right, well, do you want me to start this time? Did you start last time with your
You started last time, but it's your show, man.
I don't care.
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay, so... my number one song was a song...
Your number five song?
I mean, number five, yeah. I mean. It was a song that... I hate the song. I think it's absolutely terrible. But I absolutely love the story behind the song. So number five for me is Right Next Door to Hell. By Axel Izzy and some would name Timo Kataya? Kalataya? I don't know. So I think it's a shitty song about a neighbor that Axel hated. It's the first song on CD1 and it sucks. So that's not a good start to your Use Your Illusions when song number one on the whole project stinks. So... okay, I copied and pasted here. I'll try to not just blatantly read it, some of the history that I found somewhere. But okay, so it's the song's about a legal showdown that happened between Axel and Gabriella Cantor, who called the cops on him in 1990 and accused him of assaulting her with a bottle of wine and a piece of chicken.
I remember
before,
that.
Before he threw her apartment keys over his 12-story balcony.
Oh, God, I remember MTV News reporting this story.
Oh, yeah, it was so classic, right? Like, he assaulted her with a piece of chicken. So he went to jail, got released on $5,000 bail, and then it all went public, like you said. So she was telling people, she told People magazine that she had post-concussive syndrome from that piece of chicken. And then Axel retaliated, saying he hit her over the head with a really good bottle of Chardonnay. And then, so let's see what happened. He said, if I would have hit her, if I really would have hit her in the head with a bottle of wine, she wouldn't have gotten up. So that's kind of what he said. He called her an obsessed fan. And so I don't know whatever. Yeah, he just said she was really wasted. Was you know, bugging him in the hallway, and they got into a little battle. But it was dismissed from lack of evidence. But still, amazing rock and roll Axl Rose story that led to a really pedestrian song.
Rock star Axl Rose put on a personalized leather jacket as he left jail for freedom in the early morning hours.
Axl, what's going on, man? Fuck this.
What do you want to know?
The lead singer of the group Guns N' Roses allegedly slammed a wine bottle into a woman neighbor's head.
Apparently, the victim and Axl Rose have been having neighbor disputes for a period of months now.
Axl?
I live next door to a psycho.
Rose and 37-year-old neighbor Gabriella Cantor both live on the 12th floor of this Tony condominium in West Hollywood. Deputies say Rose confronted Cantor in a hallway, threw her keys over his balcony, then hit her with the bottle.
Cantor called the sheriff's department, and paramedics took her to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. She was treated for bruises, then released 3 hours later. Coincidentally, about the same time, Rose's manager posted a $5,000 bond, securing his release from jail. Hi.
Can you please turn the camera off?
Well, we're not here to talk with you. We're here to see if we can talk to Miss Cantor. Is that possible?
No, it's not right.
This receptionist told us Cantor was refusing all interviews. Even detectives were turned away. Rose delights in maintaining a bad boy image. Profanity is part of his act, and not just on stage. He also cursed on a live National Television Music Awards program.
Look at all the tension. God, I feel needed, wanted, loved. I ain't fucking playing it off. I mean, there's nothing else I can do. See you in court.
Axl Rose, chauffeured away in a Lincoln limousine. He's to appear in Beverly Hills Municipal Court November 19th. Kent Shocknick, Channel 4 News, West Hollywood.
Yeah, pedestrian is the word. That's one of those songs that, yeah, it's just, there's multiple songs on these albums that are just kind of like, meh. But yeah, that's another thing that Axl did on these records is settled every grudge, redressed every grievance, you know, got revenge on everybody.
Yeah, everybody Axl. Who wronged him heard about it and used illusions.
It was so ridiculous. Yeah.
He sure talks tough behind a microphone.
I know. Yeah, he made such an ass of himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing we should mention is that we disqualified, what's it called, My World? We disqualified that from these lists because
yeah,
it's only that's like a minute long. Yeah.
Because when we first had the idea of doing this, it's like, well, yeah, but there's one obvious song that's going to be both our number ones.
Yeah.
So we had
song in quotes.
Yeah. So that, which is interesting because that jumbled mess of Axl in the studio really influenced Guns N' Roses after everybody else quit on them. Like, you know, it's that song on that Arnie movie. I think it was Oh My God was what it was called.
Yeah.
You know, it was very similar kind of industrial garbage, forgettable. It took him a while to get that out of his system. So whatever he sparked on that little song, if you can even call it that, really stayed with him for a while of just that kind of the new technology that was coming out in the 90s to allow, you know, industrial music, which if you can even call it music, I'm not a fan myself.
Yeah. My World. I mean, he's trying to do a rap song, right? A rap. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Some kind of industrial.
It's
something.
It's so terrible. Ridiculously
so,
bad.
Yeah. So that song was banned. Listeners, that song was banned. We were not allowed to use that song because it's so obviously the worst.
Yeah. And it's only like a minute long and it's just, you know, fuck, it's such a throwaway that it, yeah.
Axel's like, wait, you mean I got one more minute I could put on this album before the end of
yeah,
the
CD? Yeah, you're
TV?
Right. You're right.
Hold my beer.
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck? It's only 74 minutes?
I can knock something out. Give
me 20 minutes. I'll fill that minute. 20 minutes? I don't know. Give me 4 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Exactly right. He filled it up to...
Yeah,
maximum capacity.
And also, let's pop in Don't Cry Again. There we go. That filled it up.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Let's use that other version of Don't Cry. Let's use...
Or again, Hold My Beer. I'll change that song. Give me a mic. I'll barf out a few different words and drop them in and we're good.
hold my high quality Chardonnay or whatever he said. All right, my number five is I guess on these I was just trying to pick the worst instead of like my least favorite. I was just like, mm-hmm. what are the just most, you know, the songs that are the most outtake, have the most quality is just what should have been on the cutting room floor. And my number five is You Ain't the First, which it sounds like they're trying to do the Faces or like early Rod Stewart or the Stones, or I mean that's obviously what they're, and I don't know if this is a Duff one, but it's just embarrassing because this is an outtake. Yeah. It's not something you put on your record. It's maybe something you're doing in the studio to fuck around or have fun or whatever, but for this to be on the next Guns N' Roses album after Appetite for Destruction is ridiculous, but that's what happens when you just release everything that you've done, messed around with in the studio, you just put it out. So
this song didn't make my list, but I completely agree. Like this was on my long list of shitty songs, and it's really, really long that I whittle down to five. But yeah, it's terrible. Like, dude, seriously, how could this make it on your album? I agree completely.
Yeah.
Rolling. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I tried so hard just to get through to you. Your head's so far from the realness of truth. Was it just a come on in the dark? Was it meant to last long? I think you want your welcome, honey. I'll just see you alone as I sing you this song. Can pass slowly, things always change. Your day's been numbered and I've read your last page. You was just a temporary love, honey, you ain't the first. Lots of others came before your woman said that you've been the worst. So you've been the worst.
Okay, my number four. Now, this may have been one of the ones you had on your good list. This is Double Talking Jive.
Yeah.
written by Izzy. Stupid songs.
You
hate
dig what he's saying,
no
man.
It's like, oh, you think you're clever with that? Doing a callback to Patience, really?
He's got no more patience for
filler.
This song.
The one saving
man.
Grace is the flamenco guitar at the end. When it gets to the end and that guitar bit, I'm like, wow, okay, that's kind of an interesting surprise move. Cool. But that's not enough to save the song. I think it's terrible.
It's hard to use the word filler with these albums.
I know. There's because, so much filler.
Yeah, what is it, filler? There's a few songs that aren't.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We'll dedicate this song to people who tell you can never fucking get anywhere with your life. This is a song called Double Talking Jive, motherfucker.
Yeah, I guess I can't explain why I like Double Talk and Jive. I just do. Take the money, I'll motherfucker. And then at no more patience, man. You
it's so bad.
Dig. Fucking Axel like, tries to dude, destroy it.
Like, obviously, he succeeded. That's terrible.
It's
absolutely terrible. See, for you, the problem is that in your mind, it's so bad, it's good. That's the problem. It's like watching as a joke, watching a really shitty B movie or like Stallone's over the top movie or, you know, like some of these movies that are so bad that you watch because they're so bad. I think this song has gotten so bad that to you, it's rounded the corner into good because it's just unbelievably bad.
My number four was on your best of list, actually. So once again, we overlap with yesterday's. Like I said, this was me thinking in terms of how they're just putting everything on the album, because this is such a generic ballad. Like, this is so paint by numbers and unoriginal that, you know, it has qualities that you like just because, you know, you like a song like this. But when you think about it, for Guns N' Roses to be putting this on their record, it is pathetic because it's really such a throwaway and it's so generic. You know, so for some reason, Guns N' Roses have had all this credibility that no other band was in this kind of genre was allowed to have, but Guns N' Roses for some reason had it. Like, they were the one band that people who hated this kind of music were allowed to like. But then they have a song like this, which is just, you know, I mean, how is this any better than any other shitty ballad that was on Roxy Blue's album or whatever? It's the same thing. But because it's Guns N' Roses, you know, but it's not necessarily bad, but it's just so weak. It's such a weak attempt at this kind of like very familiar song, I think.
And it's so damn catchy.
It is catchy, but that's because it sounds like a billion other songs, you know, like if Sweet Child of Mine is the ballad of Appetite, then compare this song to that.
Yeah, like certainly it doesn't hold a candle to anything off Appetite. It just doesn't.
Or compare this song to Estranged, you know? It's like...
Yeah, no, certainly. It's just funny to me that this is on the bottom end of my good stuff and this is in the middle of your bad stuff. But there you go. Yeah, I've always liked it, but I suppose I never thought too much about it. I just accepted it as for what it was, and I think it's a catchy song and I like it.
And it's also, I think it's one of those, it's one of the pre-Appetite songs, too. It's an older song.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it sounds very Guns to me.
There's a song on those Rumbo tapes that's called Yesterday's, but it's spelled D-A-Z-E, but I assume it's probably this song.
Ah, right.
But I don't know if I've heard the early version, so maybe not. Maybe it's a different song. I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, my number three, written by Axl and Slash. Slash is finally getting into my list of bad songs. He actually doesn't have that many writing credits, considering how much he brings to the album. He doesn't have a lot of writing credits. Anyway.
Yeah.
Garden of Eden. I think it's just a garbage song, no hooks, and a really dumb music video. Like, I cannot believe they made that music video for the song. It's outrageous.
That's the punk song on the album.
Yeah, right.
You know what? That song is exactly like Eat the Rich. Aren't the videos even similar? You know the Aerosmith song, Eat the Rich? They're very similar, like just fast, like punky songs. I think the Aerosmith video is even similar.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
Fish lens.
Yeah, right.
Single camera.
I never thought about that before, but all of a sudden when you were talking about the video, then and Eat the Rich came into my head, and I was like, wow, those are the same.
Same director, filmed on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah, Garden of Eden's all right to me. It definitely wasn't a contender for my worst of list, but it's just like the Guns N' Roses punk song.
I skip it every time.
Yeah.
Not that I listen to these albums very much, to be honest.
No. It's Craig Solution. Okay, my number three, Izzy is to blame for this one, Bad Obsession. And this is another one of the pre-Appetite songs, but it's just, it's Guns N' Roses doing boogie rock or whatever, but it's just so like formulaic and lame. You know, this is an outtake. This is a B-side. That's what it is. It's messing around. It doesn't sound anything like Guns N' Roses. And it's just a bad example of a bad idea. That's what I wrote. The whole problem with these is they just released everything and there was they weren't selective. They didn't weed anything out, and that's the problem. There's other shitty songs on here that are more metal and Slash is doing cooler things in that make them better than this for me.
This song, I agree completely. It is a B-side.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a terrible song. It's just not good enough to be on the record.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would be an interesting B-side for sure. Like, I don't hate the song. You know, it's, I don't see it on my list here of even, you know, the short list that I had to weed down to five. But it's just, I don't love it, don't hate it. It's fine. If it was on a B-side, it wouldn't bother me. But certainly, it's just not good enough to be on the album. Come on.
We'll be right back.
Okay. My number two, written by Axl / Izzy and Duff. So they're all to blame. Song called Bad Apples. I think it's a terrible song, and the piano is absolutely awful in the song. There's no way the Bad Apples should have been on the record.
Yeah. I barely remember how that one goes. I went through listening to all these, and it's just some of the songs would have some kind of a redeeming quality that would just make me. But yeah, it's just not any good.
No, it's just it's to me, it's the same as your last track. It's just pure filler. Yeah. But something about it, what they were going for with this one, just annoyed me. I'm not even sure what it was. Was it a Black Rose thing, or I don't know what it was about this song, but it annoyed me, going for like a 70s rock thing. I don't know what they were trying to achieve with this song, but it rubbed me the wrong way, so that I'm a bit more aggressively against the song than some of the other stuff.
You know, I think another problem is if you could hear them having fun with these songs, that would be one thing, but you kind of get the impression that nobody was having any fun making this.
Maybe that's a good point. That's a good point, because this is a song that should have been a party song.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking, there's one thing where it would be really fun as a band to just to record all these songs, but I don't think they were having fun as a band. Definitely by some point they weren't. And so,
oh no.
So whatever the process was that culminated in these 30 songs, it doesn't work. It didn't work. And they definitely needed, I mean, like you're saying, Mike Klink, obviously, if he would just dump Megadeth to go work with Guns N' Roses, it's because, you know, they were his meal ticket. But I can't imagine that this process was any fun for him either.
Oh, no. See, the thing that bugs me is that everybody knew that 3/4 of these songs suck. The band knows, the label knows, Mike Klink knows.
Yeah.
Everybody involved knows, and they're still doubling up to put it all out to make as much money as they can while they can. So I kind of resent them a little bit for that, because there is, if like we said before in the other episode, if they would have just taken the 10 good songs, or at least the 6 good songs and the 4 decent songs, and put a record out, it would have been a respectable, highly respectable follow-up to Appetite, because there's enough good stuff. And they would have had like 5 hit singles, and it would have sold like gangbusters. But no, they had to stick it to us and double up and release all this crap. And I guess I'm getting, doing this exercise is making me bitter at them for doing this to us.
Yeah, you're right. Mike Klink knows full well that the way you make a record is maybe you record 30 songs, but or at you least whittle it down. 30. Yeah, yeah, or yeah. demo 30, but you edit yourself and you whittle it down and you put together an album. And you don't just release 30 songs. And also, you know, one thing I saw is, I mean, I don't know how much of the time they were in the studio, but this was recorded over the course of 20 months in 7 different studios. So it was just complete overkill.
But also, the members were so messed up.
Yeah, right? There was no reining them in. There's no reining Axl in at this point. So it was just complete self-indulgence and ridiculousness. And yeah, like you're saying, you know, obviously the label wants to put out 2 Guns N' Roses albums because then they make twice as much money.
Exactly. So, all right, what's your number 2?
My number 2 is on your favorite list, your best of list. Dead Horse, which is Axl. I just have a low threshold of tolerance for Axl's bullshit. And I just think, you know, this is Axl trying to write a certain... It's like he's trying to do something like, look at me, I'm hot shit. Look, I'm writing this fucking cowboy song or whatever the fuck this is.
Yeah, I disagree with you on that one, but I'd be curious to what your listeners think about that song.
yeah.
Is it, you know, is it just me that likes it or is it just you that hates it?
Yeah.
Not that you care. I'm not the only one with too many feelings to share.
I'm curious what your number one is, because I think a lot of people are going to disagree with my number one.
Oh, really? I think everybody's going to agree with my number one. This song was surprisingly easy for me to choose as my number one. Written by Duff. This song actually makes me throw up a little in my mouth. And that was my comment. I cannot believe that the band that did Appetite for Destruction could put this song on an album, let alone the follow-up to Appetite for Destruction. I chose a song, So Fine.
Yeah.
It is just absolutely terrible. It's embarrassingly bad. It's so bad listening to this song, like I get embarrassed for them that they not only did they write it, but they recorded it and put it on an album. It's just, what were they thinking? This song is awful.
That one was definitely on my list at one point, and definitely a contender. It's Duff trying to be Johnny Thunders, is what it is, I think.
I can't believe that didn't even make your list. If that's not your number one, how could this song not be on your list?
Yeah. Down in your house.
so good, so good. How could you be so fine? How could you be so cool? How could it be you might be mine?
My number one, I remember they used to play this song on the radio and I always hated it, but I know people like it, and Alice Cooper cannot even save it. And I actually read Slash, because this is one of the songs that's on their early demo, and Slash said Axl was just copying Alice Cooper. They always made fun of him, so they just asked the real Alice Cooper to come in when they recorded it for Use Your Illusion and had him do the part. Because Axl does sound almost exactly like Alice sounds on this song. He sounds yes. like that on other songs. Yeah. But, of course, I'm talking about The Garden, which I just think is a dumb fucking song. And Axl's trying to be artsy. Or the verse is total shit. And then the chorus is just Alice Cooper talking. So, you know, Slash tries. There are some good musical moments in the song that when Axl's not singing. Mm-hmm. There is a part of the song I like that doesn't have vocals, but anytime there's vocals, it sucks shit. And I've always hated the song ever since I first would hear it on the radio. Was this a single?
I don't...
But they used to play it in Milwaukee on the radio, I know.
No, this wasn't an official single, but it certainly got radio play.
Yeah. But this is probably me in the Brian Sword spirit of these lists of picking a number one to piss people off.
But yeah, I played it pretty straight because I think So Fine is so far like easily the worst song. But yeah, kudos to you for picking a song that's going to piss people off.
But I truly have always hated this song and thought it was stupid. So.
Friends, they aren't alone. Everybody.
I was hoping we were gonna line up, you know, with our line up with our number one. I was sure when So Fine wasn't early on your list that it was coming.
Yeah, like I said, it was definitely a contender. I don't know. I must have listened to it and decided it was better than You Ain't the First or something. It's not good though. It's definitely not good.
No.
Like, I figured, like, Get in the Ring would be on my list, but then when I listened to it, it's got some cool riffs, and it's got some heavy parts that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
Even though it's a completely ridiculous song.
Yeah.
It has redeeming qualities that, you know, like we've been talking about Slash. You know, there's a lot of the heavier songs on this album where Slash's riffs are still cool enough to make them not the worst, but...
It's interesting to me that Axl... in his own way, save the album with Estranged and November Rain and a few other songs that right. he really elevated.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he also ruined it on 80% of the album, like songs, you know.
Yeah.
Like Your Number One, where like The Garden, where it's like musically, this is pretty cool. That could be a good song if Axl had did something different vocally and lyrically, you know. So there's a lot of songs that he ruins. But also, you know, he's responsible for some of the best stuff, too. So what do? I know what you do. You put out a 10-song album and cut the crappy songs out.
Exactly. And you also have, you know, a producer who can actually, like, can you imagine Mike Klink trying to tell Axl not to do something or do something a different way? I mean, it probably just wasn't going to happen.
Well, it doesn't matter who the producer was.
Yeah,
I don't think at that point. I think Mike Klink, at least he had a history.
Yeah.
So he would know how to deal with them. But I don't care what legendary producer you drop in there, Axl was going to do what Axl wanted to do, at least at that point in his life.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the problem is you don't have a producer saying, I don't think that's good. I think we should do it again. I don't think we should put that in the mix, blah, blah, blah. That just wasn't going to happen. No, it seems like everyone from the band to the record label to the producer, the engineer, everyone just let Axl do whatever he wanted to do.
But when you're dealing with somebody,
the boat.
Well, when you're dealing with somebody that volatile,
yeah,
what can you do? You're just trying to get the project done, you know.
Yeah, it's 4 years since Appetite for Destruction. This is a cash cow, and the record label is sitting there waiting for 4 years to try to get something else out of them.
But you have to remember that it took a full year for Appetite to become a hit.
Yeah.
So Appetite is out for a year, it becomes a hit. So then they're going to be touring for at least another year.
Yeah.
So yes, this, you know, you look at the list of studios, my goodness, A&M Studios, Record Plant Studios, Studio 56, Image Recording, Conway Studios, Metalworks Studios in Canada, good for them, Skip Sailor Recording, like was where it was mixed, but that's a lot of studios. They're all over the place.
How much money was spent?
I don't know. Yeah.
I would love to see a tally of like how much money Axl Rose cost everybody by just, you know, his antics and his, you know, control freak nature. And I mean, it's just millions and millions of dollars down the drain just because of Axl being a nut job.
and apparently mixing was a real problem too, because they kept on getting it remixed, because if Axl liked it, Slash hated the mix, and if Slash liked the mix, Axl hated the mix, and it took forever for them to get a mix that everybody agreed upon, too.
All right, so I guess it's time to pick our least favorite song from Appetite for Destruction.
Okay, this was tough, because there was a few, like, all in all, I think I like the album much more than you, but I had three songs that I had to choose the worst from. But okay, you go first. I want to hear yours.
Oh yeah, this was easy. This was no problem. I've always hated this song. And I was talking about how there's this double standard with Guns N' Roses, where somehow they just artistically transcend everybody else from the genre and from the era, you know, for some reason. Like Rolling Stone or whoever. People who don't like this kind of music, they're like, they like Guns N' Roses, and Guns N' Roses are somehow, you know, just superior to everything else. And then the fucking chorus of this song is, "Where the grass is green and the girls are pretty, take me down to the paradise city." I have always hated this fucking song. I hate it. Ever since it first came out on the radio, on Headbangers Ball, I hate Paradise City. I hate it. I totally fucking hate it. So, wow. For sure, like, no doubt, my least favorite song on the record. And, you know, look at that fucking chorus. It's so dumb. How do they get away with that? How are Guns N' Roses just, you know, this brilliant band that just are... Somebody who would say Cinderella is complete garbage, but Guns N' Roses are fucking great. You know what I mean? I hate that. That's always annoyed the shit out of me. And I think this song is a perfect example of, like, the double standard. Like, any other band where the chorus is, take me down to the paradise city where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. You know, people who like Guns N' Roses, if another band had that, they'd think it was fucking stupid, wouldn't they? I don't know. I just think it sucks.
Yeah, I agree with you lyrically, but musically and vocally, it's so strong that most people don't pay attention to the lyrics.
Yeah, it's not even about the lyrics. That's just my complaint about how they're like Guns N' Roses are geniuses and every other band from the era is garbage. That's just always a bug. I mean, I don't like anything about this song. Ugh.
Dude,
ugh.
You've gone full Brian. Like, fool me on this one. You're yeah. Choosing Paradise City is the worst song on Appetite.
It's my least favorite. And I'm not pulling a Brian Sword. I mean, I've never liked this song. I knew for sure this was my least favorite on the record. There's no doubt in my mind. Oh, and Welcome to the Jungle would be toward the bottom. If I rank the songs on the album, Welcome to the Jungle would be toward the bottom, too. I don't really like that either.
Read the comments on this one. Okay, folks, let them have it. Okay, well, in terms of the songs that actually suck, I had three songs that I think are weak. Anything Goes wins for me. It's a terrible song with terrible lyrics. I think About You and You're Crazy are close. But Anything Goes is the worst song. Now, that said, all three have stuff musically that I like. And the worst on this album is still way, way better than the worst stuff on Illusions.
Well, yeah.
So far, like, the worst of this does not compete at all with the worst of Illusions. But Anything Goes, I think, is the worst song on this album.
I kind of thought you were going to say Think About You, which... That's the song that's got, like, synthesizer in it, right? That's, like, the poppiest song.
Anything Goes, Think About You, and You're Crazy are the three weak songs on the album. Paradise City, high.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brian, for joining me for these episodes. It was fun.
Obviously. Always a pleasure. Yeah. It's always amazing, our list, because we always have some overlap on what we agree on, and we both firmly agree on Estranged.
Yeah.
And then there's always some where it's guaranteed... that something I love, you'll hate, or vice versa. It never fails.
Yeah. My way, your way.